want to talk tonight from the subject of just say the word.
Amen.
Just say the word.
Hallelujah.
Just say the word.
Hallelujah.
Father God, we thank you, Lord, once again for allowing us into your presence. We ask, Lord, that you'll move us, Lord, from outer into the inner court and from inner court into the holy of holiness places.
Yes, God.
Father God, we thank you tonight, Lord, for just the opportunity, Lord, just to once again partake in Holy Communion. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us, Lord, to present ourselves and our weakness before you, and we can touch and agree in the Spirit. Father God, I declare tonight that somebody is healed. I declare tonight that somebody that walked in here, your entire situation has been changed tonight. Now listen, just because God doesn't manifest it when you want to early in the morning doesn't mean that God has not captured that prayer. Doesn't mean that God is not going to do it. God hears your cry. He hears your prayer. But sometimes God will leave you there because he wants to even further grow you, develop you. We just have to stand and wait on the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
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 You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Matthew chapter number 8, verses 5 through 8. Just say the word. In life, we are quite often challenged. Your challenge may be in the form of finances. The challenge may be in the form of dealing with a child or children. You may be challenged in the area of employment. Or maybe you are challenged tonight as it relates to your body. One thing is for certain, and that is we are all challenged. When you are challenged, when we are challenged, if we're not careful, we will allow doubt to sit in. And in the midst of being challenged and doubt sit in, what doubt sometimes will lead you to believe is that you're not saved. Doubt will lead you to believe that God has walked away from you. Doubt would lead you to believe that you're in a situation all by yourself and the world has never seen anything like that before. Because everything that you find yourself going through, someone else has already been through it before. Not only has they other people been through it, but they've also overcame it. And so when you start going through something and doubt set in, we have to expel doubt immediately. Because if we don't expel doubt, doubt will begin to work inside of you. Doubt steps inside of you, and doubt, contrary to what people say, your thinking becomes your action. And so doubt says you're no good. Doubt says something is wrong with you. When you begin to doubt God, it's impossible for you to see the blessings of God because you're not believing in the God that you're praying to. Now, so when doubt steps in, you have to be careful, but you also have to be true to yourself. And that is, being true to yourself is to say that I'm a child of God, but when something happens, I'm human. I'm afraid. It doesn't mean that I'm doubting God at the time. It just means that I feel what I feel. And isn't it a bad thing to be going through something and something happened to you and all of the Holy Ghost folks around you say, I thought she went to church. I thought she was a Christian. Well, you may be that, but that still doesn't mean that when the right punch hit you, you don't step back. What I want to talk about tonight in talking about faith is how to step up your game in the midst of going through something. When we begin to go through something, the one thing that moves God is faith not your tears.
All right now.
If I cry louder, if I lay on the floor and kick and scream, then God will move. And God is saying, child, would you get up? Would you stop?
Amen.
Can you imagine? And for some of us, we don't have to imagine. You remember when your parents were trying to discipline you and you start acting a fool? And they beat you worse. Did you? Yeah, I'm just going to beat you till you straighten up. I can't straighten up till you stop hitting me.
All right now.
And God is saying, until you get up, I'm going to leave you in the fire.
All right.
And so when God moves his hand away from us for a moment, doesn't mean he turned his back on you, forsake you, or anything like that. It's just sometimes God allows you to go through something because God is always trying to grow us up. Now remember, you are created in the image of God, which means you are created to be and to do things like God, even though we'll fall short. Now in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26, when God created everything, and then God took man, and God gave man dominion over everything. Now, dominion means to have authority or power over something. So all of your situations, all of your drama, all of your haters, all of your split personalities, every single thing about you, God says you have power over that. But just because you have power over that, you have to then exercise the power that you have over that. So what we tend to do is we tend to pray and say, God, stop by here. God, come over here. Or God, Sister Jones is in the hospital in room 459. Go by there. So we want to send God, treat God, do with God how we can comprehend in our mind. You can't take God, who is omniscient, omnipresent, wrap him in your small mind and get an understanding of God. See, where trust and faith comes in is to say, I can't get you, God. I don't know where you're coming from. I don't even see where you're moving. And sometimes I don't even feel that you are moving. But I gotta trust you because I know the covenant agreement that you made with us.
Amen.
Now, when God gives you authority or dominion over something, you have to understand the omnipresence of God. Meaning that God is everywhere.
Amen.
So you can't tell God something and God says, didn't think about that.
All right, now.
You can't find yourself going through something and then God says, how am I going to deliver you from that? Everything that you're facing tonight, everything that you're going through, God is saying, right there is where I want you. Right here? God, do you know how this feels? Yeah, I know, but just hang in there. No, God, you got to be kidding me. Because this is embarrassing, this is painful, and I don't know if I can pay my bills, and I don't know what the doctor going to say. And God is saying, well, just stand still.
Amen.
And see the salvation of the Lord. But God, I've been standing still long enough to see your salvation. You need to hurry up and show me some salvation. You need to show me some deliverance. And I don't need to see when I get to heaven everything is all right. I need to see it here.
Amen.
What we'll learn tonight is the power of words. We'll learn the power of words. Now, I'll always tell you that when you begin to go through something, faith dictates how long you stay in it. You will not come out of it until your faith is pleasing to God.
All right.
Now, God deals with every man or woman according to the measurement of your faith.
Yes.
So just because somebody else came out like this doesn't mean God is going to deliver you like that. Well, if Paulette was in it and Paulette did this and Paulette came out, that doesn't mean that Jamaica is going to come out the same way. See, because where God is taking Jamaica is not where God is taking Paulette. So you got to be in relationship with God for yourself.
Amen.
Now, because you have to be in relationship with God for yourself, that means that you got to spend time with God.
Amen.
In spending time with God, you understand, get to know God. But we as church folks sometimes think that just because you come to church, you're spending time with God. You can learn a lot of stuff from people in the world.
Yes, Lord.
But if you're so sanctified and you're so holy and you're passing judgment on other people, you don't see how God is using them as well. Everybody in the world, so you think, is not on their way to hell.
That's right.
Everybody in the church, so you think, is not on their way to heaven. See, God has a remnant. It's a small group that God says, I can leave these folks in the world and minister to the world, even though they're not ministering in the church.
Jesus.
Now, I'm not telling you to go to club and say, I'm going to save everybody in the club while I'm drinking on some liquor and I'm going to lead you to Christ. I'm not saying that. God deals with every man according to the measurement of your faith.
All right.
So some people can be in the presence of something and operate and not get caught up. And sometimes other people, they get caught up in some things.
All right.
So what I want to show you tonight is a lesson that we can take from a soldier. Now, I found it important that this person was a soldier because, you know, we get holy and we say we're on the battlefield for the Lord. And we're soldiers for the Lord. You know, we get real holy. When you join the military, the laws that is in this land does not take precedent over you. When you join the military, you come under the uniform code of military justice. Those laws outline how you as a soldier live. They govern your life. One of the things that in the civilian world is that I can see a police officer and I don't have to reverence that police officer. I don't have to salute him. I don't have to say anything to him. I can even roll my eyes at him. In the military, you have to reverence those that is in positions above you.
All right.
Okay? Follow me just for a little while. And because you are a soldier of the Lord, God is now, or Jesus is now teaching us what it is to really be a soldier. Allow me to draw your attention to verse number 5, please. See verse number 5? Now, notice what verse number 5 says. It says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion. That's a soldier. And he was begging him, beseeching him. He's begging him. And what this soldier was begging him in verse number 6, he said, Lord, my servant. In other words, there's somebody under me. Watched it. There's somebody under me. And he says, he is lying at home sick. Okay? And because he's at home sick, it further goes on to say, and he's being tormented. Mm-hmm. Is that what it says? Mm-hmm. So here is this officer praying for this non-commissioned officer. Okay? So what he's saying is that I got a soldier who's at home. He's sick. And because he's at home sick, he says, it's tormenting him. Now, something that is tormenting you is just eating at you. Okay? It's one thing to be sick. It's something else when the toothache is just pounding. It makes it worse. So he says to Jesus, the centurion says to Jesus, he says in verse number 7, and Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal you. Notice that? Okay. He says to Jesus, I'm asking you to come to my house to heal the servant. Jesus says to him, okay, I'll come. Okay. He then say to Jesus, you don't have to come. Wait a minute. I've been dying to get in your presence. I've been dying to get to church. I've been dying to touch the hem of your garment. And then the soldier says, you don't have to come to my house. As a matter of fact, I'm unworthy for you to even come under my roof. Get this. Just say the word. Just say the word. He says, I'm a man. I told you I just want to teach tonight. He says, I'm a man also that's under authority. I say to this one, do. I say to that one, go, and they go. I say to that one, come, and they come. The soldier understood the chain of command. He understood that even though the general was in Washington, D.C., and he was in Afghanistan, the same law, dominion, authority that the general wrote in Washington, D.C. is still good for Afghanistan. You got to get this.
Amen.
What he's showing us, teaching us, is the same spoken word in heaven.
Amen.
Still works here on this earth.
Hallelujah.
And if you're a soldier of God,
hallelujah,
all you have to do is say what the general said.
Yeah.
If the general said, by my stripes, you're healed,
right,
you say it too.
Yeah.
Because you're not operating based off the law here.
Amen.
You have your own, not uniform code of military justice, but I have a covenant code with God.
Amen.
And so if I say it, and I have dominion over sickness, haters, backstabbers, doubt, if I just say the word, Jesus show up.
Alright now, alright. Thank you, Lord.
We keep trying to send God somewhere. Trying to tell God what to do. And Jesus is saying, just say the word.
Say the word.
See, when you begin to just say the word, whatever you say becomes in existence.
Alright now.
See, it's not just words. And so what he's saying is that I'm under authority, but I also have other people under me. And if I tell them to do something, they're going to do it. I wish somebody tonight would say to your situation and your circumstances, I command you in the name of Jesus to leave. I command you in the name of Jesus to turn these finances around. I command you in the name of Jesus to do whatever it is that you need.
Yes.
See, God is sharing that with us. That's why he created us in his image. To be created in his image is not just to look like, but it's to also have the same power. Remember, you have dominion, and so the soldier says, I understand authority, which is dominion. He says, I understand how that works. All you got to do is say the word. He knew who Jesus was. I wonder if you know who Jesus is. If you knew who Jesus was, I wonder what you be saying tonight. You see, if we know who Jesus is, it controls what we say. Whatever it is that you say, that's what it is that you'll see. Now, he understood chain of command. What he also understood was that everything God created, if he spoke it, he created it, he also controlled it.
All right now.
See, you got to get this. Satan is not in control of anything.
Have mercy.
Don't leave the church, but watch this.
Have mercy.
Who created Satan?
Okay.
So if God created Satan,
all right now,
even Satan is in the palm of his hand.
All right, man.
Every now and then, Satan will come and he'll knock and say, can I have permission to do this? And God says, go ahead. Now wait, God, you just told me that you love me. How are you going to give Satan permission to attack me?
Right.
And God says, remember when I told you that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper? So I can let that no weapon shoot, but you better believe it's not going to stop you. Because remember, you are forced to be reckoned with. So in the midst of you being challenged, you give the world the opportunity to see the greater one that is inside of you. And so it's not until you begin to go through something that you really discover who you are.
All right now.
You don't know you. You don't know you. See, because some of us, if he did me like that, I just wouldn't put up with it. If they did that, I'm telling you, I would jump on him, and then God flip your little script, and you find yourself going through something worse, and then you reach down and grab something inside, and everybody else saying she gonna lose her mind, or she said she was gonna cut him, and somehow you find the love of God that is deep down inside of you, and you discover, I'm stronger than I thought. See, God allows you to go through some stuff so that you can get to know you. God knows who you are. God knows everything about you, but he still is trying to pull some stuff out of you. And so what he wants us to understand is that he is all the time developing character inside of you. Now, character is the thing that no one can give to you. Character comes like patience. You just got to be able to struggle to get it. See, nobody can bless you with that kind of patience. Oh, Lord, just pour patience over there. And God is saying, okay, you want patience. Okay. Just stand right there. You talking about in the fire? Yeah, that fire right there. You want me to stand right here? Okay, it's hot. Then you want to move. No, get back. Right there. Just stand. And so God allows so many things to come against you. And as those things become against you, you say, man, I'm going to die right here. And God is saying, now, baby, I'm just terrifying you right now. You see, there's some things that is in us that God is setting a fire to because he wants to create us more in his image. And we think that God is mad with us, and God is saying, no, I want you to understand when you come out of this thing, all you got to do is speak the word. See, but notice what the soldier did. And that the soldier said, listen, he said, you don't have to come to my house, just say the word. Just say the word. And see, what Jesus was showing is that he understood the authority that man have over every situation. He understood that. Look at verse number 10, please, in closing. Verse number 10, when Jesus heard it, and the it that Jesus had, verse number 9, when the man says, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he come, and to my servant, do this, and he does that. And verse number 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that follow, verily, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so what?
So greater faith.
So what kind of faith?
Greater faith.
I want to leave you with three different levels of faith tonight. Level number one is empty faith. Empty faith when you think it is impossible. Empty faith when you say that ain't gonna happen, it will never happen to me, it just cannot happen. That's empty faith. Level number two is an entry faith. That is when you come closer into God, when you say that's possible, but I don't know if he's gonna do it for me. The light is going on. So he says, that's possible. I'm coming in. And now once you in, level number three is expectation. Yes. That is to say, whoo! That is to say that not only do I believe, but I know God is going to do this.
Amen.
How do you know what God is going to do? You know what God is going to do when you say back to God what God said to you. He has to do it. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, it shall be done. So this is how you pray. I don't know how to pray. Read your Bible. God, you said in your word that you will never leave me, never forsake you. And you pray back to him what he said to you.
That's right.
I don't literally mean this, but in a sense, When you pray back to God, you put God in a corner. Just imagine this. I don't literally mean this. But you put God in a corner where you're saying, God, I done backed you up because you made that covenant agreement with me.
Amen.
And God is saying, I got to move because this boy done told me what I told him.
All right now.
Hallelujah.
You see how to move God?
That's
hallelujah.
Right.
It's impossible to please God without faith. And faith cometh but by
hearing
the word of the Lord. So the more that you study, the more that you read, the more that you receive, then you get faith by hearing the word. Now repeat back to the word. Just say the word.
Yes, Lord.
Prayer is not difficult. Just say the word. Just say back to him his word.
Amen.
When you begin to say back to him his word, he has to move because his name is at stake.
Hallelujah.
His name is at stake. Verse number 10. Verily, verily, or verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith.
Oh, great.
No, not where?
In all
the church.
That's right.
He said, here's this unchurched worldly person teaching you the power of words, teaching you the power of authority, teaching you the power of God speaking something. He understood the chain of command. You don't understand that you're in the chain of command. That's why you don't say what the general said about you. Because if you understood the chain of command, you get in his word and say, but General God said, therefore Lieutenant somebody is going to repeat it and going to carry it out. Because when I begin to say back to God, God says, listen, when you say it back, you just speak the word. As you speak it, you give it spirit.
Hallelujah.
Have mercy, Jesus.
When you speak words, you give words spirit. When you speak words, words then become a lie. That's when you say it'll never happen. That's why it never happened. That's why when you say, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do this, that's why it happened. Because God gives you permission to just say the word. Tell God what God told you. And God has to move because he's in a covenant agreement with you. So he has to respond based off what you said. But God, what if I'm not right? No, you're not right. To me, what if? And that's why Jesus died on an old rugged cross.
Thank you, Lord.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
It's through the blood of the Lamb. It's through the communion that we just had tonight.
Hallelujah.
That's the righteousness of God. And that's why God says to you, be ye holy. I am holy. Not predicated on you being independent. He says, as I, with a covenant agreement. A covenant agreement. Don't want to leave tonight without giving someone an opportunity.